We continue our study in the Ten Commandments. Today we will be looking in Exodus chapter 20, verse 15. Exodus chapter 20, verse 15. Let us hear God's word. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not steal. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, you have provided for what we need even this day. You have provided for the manna, the bread of life. But even more so now, Heavenly Father, we ask that you would provide your word for us, that you would open up our hearts, that through your Holy Spirit we would receive your message. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Many, many years ago, when I was a pastor down in the low country of South Carolina, I heard of an incident of where an old farmer would allow a group of men to come onto his land to hunt birds. And the farmer, he charged just really a modest fee, wasn't much at all. But the men were not satisfied with this. They wanted more. So they approached this old farmer and offered to pay the taxes on the land each year in exchange for being the only ones allowed to hunt on that land. Now, the farmer, being ignorant of the law, agreed to this business deal. And the group of men, year after year, they paid the taxes on the property, but they paid the taxes in their name. Now, the law in South Carolina states that if an owner of a piece of property is delinquent in taxes, then whoever pays the back taxes and continues to pay the current taxes for so many years, then they automatically become the owners of the property. Well, within a few years, the group of men claimed the land for themselves. Just like Ahab and Jezebel in the Old Testament, how they stole the vineyard from Naboth. These men, they stole the land from this farmer. These men might have prided themselves on being shrewd businessmen, but in reality, they're thieves. Interesting, though, that these thieves, they obeyed the civil law. They didn't break the law at all. They did everything exactly by the law. They obeyed the civil law, but they broke God's law. Because the eighth commandment reads, "Thou shalt not steal." Thou shalt not steal. There's a negative aspect to it. There's a positive aspect. Today I want to focus on the negative aspect. It is obvious that if we go rob a bank, rob a store, we're breaking this commandment. But have you ever thought about you being an employee of a certain business? If you take some of that business's equipment, or even if it's just a pen or a pencil, and you take it for yourselves, though it belongs to the company, this commandment labels you a thief. But there again, maybe the company is not paying you fair wages. Maybe the company is taking advantage of you. Well, in the same way, the company, whoever is in charge of that particular aspect, is a thief. The one who uses false weights and measures, or charges more than what he should for his services, is a thief. The employer who does not pay his employees according to what they should be paid, he's a thief. Paul, writing to the Colossians, says, "Masters, provide your slaves with what is right and fair." Meaning, employers, provide for your employees that which is fair. You may not think it is a serious business to not repay a debt, but God calls you wicked. The wicked borrow and do not repay, but the righteous give generously. You remember the story of Elijah, the prophet, and he goes and he meets with a widow. The widow has one son. She has no money. There's famine in the land. She is about to fix the very last food that they have to eat, and after that, she expects to die, she and her son to die of hunger. Well, God had sent the prophet Elijah to that place, okay? And he said, God says to Elijah, go and talk to the widow and provide for her. Well, he didn't know what widow. There's more than one widow there. But in God's providence, you see, it's the one that he approached and talked to. And he told her what to do. He told her what to do. And he said, get all these clay pots and put oil in them and keep pouring oil in all these pots until the oil runs out. Well, Elijah, what do I do with it after that? Now, we would think that Elijah would say, live on what you have. But you know what he does say? He says, first, go pay all your debts and then live on what is left. He wanted to make sure that the woman was not breaking the commandment of thou shalt not steal. You pay your debts, make it right with the people, and in so doing, you're making it right with God. And then you live on what is left. Sometimes, husbands, wives, they steal from their own family. Sometimes a husband or a wife may not be financially providing for their spouse and their children. Instead, they are getting stuff for hobbies and stuff that they like and are hoarding stuff like that while their husband or wife or children go wanting. In that case, the spouse is a thief. The drunkard, the gambler, the drug addicted person, the one who spends all of his money on these types of things to the point that the family is hurt, they're a thief. It is interesting to note God's order of things in the scriptures. God creates Adam. He puts him in the garden. And guess what comes next? Most people will say, oh, then he creates Eve. No, no. What does he do first? He commissions Adam. Adam becomes the caretaker of the garden. He becomes a chemist, a zoologist, a biologist, a botanist. He is given all of these skills to take care of what's in the garden because God wants Adam to make it right for the receiving of Eve. So, the gifts that you have are given to you in order that you may take care of one another and not steal from one another. Just think of the story of the prodigal son. He spent all of his inheritance on his lusts. So when we spend all our money on certain, whether it be gambling or alcohol, or even hobbies that are not in and of themselves sinful, but we spend so much money on that we don't have enough money to pay the power bill, we become thieves. The husband is a prodigal husband. The wife is a prodigal wife. And they would rather let their family live in the pig pen than take care of them. Sometimes, get ready, young people. Sometimes children are thieves. Young people, if you do not do the things your parents ask you to do, you're breaking this commandment. You may be given chores, but children and young people, your number one goal in life right now is to study and do well in your schoolwork. Because by doing so, God is laying a foundation for you to serve Him later on. And if you're not taking time to do well in school, then you're breaking the commandment of thou shalt not steal. Now, all these examples that I've mentioned, both the church and the world acknowledge that they are acts of theft. The things that I have said, the world sees those as thieves. That's why if you don't pay your bills, they're going to repossess whatever you bought. If you go rob a bank or rob a store, once you get caught, you're going to jail. See, that's not just church laws, that is civil laws. But here is what I want you to hear. Up to this point, we have talked about probably kind of easy things to hear, because I can always say, I'm not like that, the thing that the preacher was talking about. I provide for my family. I don't rob the bank. I don't rob the store. I don't buy a lot of toys for me. No. I've been doing pretty well. Well, let me ask you this. You remember when Job was complaining to God, and God finally said, all right, I'm going to answer you. God says to Job, now you brace yourself and you listen to what I'm going to say. Well, I'm telling that to you right now. What comes next? You better brace yourself, because God's going to be speaking to you. And the question I ask of you is, do you rob from God? Do you rob from God? Now, I know what people are thinking about. Oh, it's getting that time where we have to start thinking about the budget for next year. The treasurer's already working on it. So the preacher is going to give this annual giving of money to the church. That's not what I'm talking about. But you see how I did that? I threw that in there for you to think about, and that's all I'm going to say about it. No. Something more important. Do you rob God? Do you rob God? Are you angry about something that has happened in your life? Are you bitter towards someone who has hurt you? Do you refuse to forgive them and be reconciled to them? If you are, then you are robbing God the glory that He deserves. when Paul writes to the Philippians, what's he doing? Is he out on the beach laying under an umbrella, sipping on a cold drink? Is he at the church picnic? Where is Paul when he writes to the Philippians? He's in jail. He's chained. Paul is in prison. And all of his worldly accomplishments, which are a lot, are lost. And to top it off, he's being persecuted for doing right things, teaching people about Christ, evangelizing people. Now, if anybody in the world had a reason to be mad about their situation, it was the Apostle Paul. But what does he write? What has happened to me has already served to advance the gospel. You have to understand that what has happened to him is not good. He doesn't like it. If he could get out from underneath it, he would, and that would be okay. He does not like what is happening to him. But he's able to see it through the binoculars of Scripture. And he says, what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. Chapter 3, verse 7. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. With all the bad things happening to Paul, he makes it a point not to rob God of the glory that God is getting from Paul being in a difficult situation. What does Paul write? Again, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Man, oh man. Your preacher is still learning. Your preacher is still learning. With all that has happened to me in the last 6 months, and now starting to, hopefully not, but maybe starting to even lose my sight, the Scriptures call upon me to rejoice in the Lord. I don't know what he's doing through my life. He knows what he's doing. You don't know what he's doing through your life and through the difficult times. But he's doing something. And it is your call not to rob him of that glory, but to see your situation through the eyes of Scripture. Do not interpret God's love through your situation. Instead, you interpret your situation through God's love. Do you rob God? If you find yourself robbing God, this is what I tell you. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. I have learned to be content. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Paul does not allow his circumstances to dictate to him what his attitude to God must be. Instead, like a butterfly goes through metamorphosis, we are called upon to go through a spiritual metamorphosis. We take God's word, we apply it to our life, and it changes us how we see the world and how we see ourselves. And you know what the Scriptures say about every one of our situations that are difficult and painful and sorrowful? What the Scriptures have to say is this. In all things, God works for the good of those who love him, and are called according to His purpose. Friend, you believe that. Friend, you stand on that. That is your strength. That is your strength. Your dark and painful providence, it is designed by God, especially for you. It is designed by God to teach you to trust Him. How was Peter going to know that he could walk on water? How was he going to know that? Well, Christ will have to put him in that situation, won't he? God works in our life to empty us of confidence in ourselves. Let me say it again. God works through the Holy Spirit to empty us of our self-confidence. Because your self-confidence is going to fail. Sooner or later, it's going to fail. Because you're putting your confidence in things that do not last and things that do not have the strength to last. Paul says, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. God has sent this thorn in the flesh to me to teach me that His grace is sufficient for my life. Oh, I asked the Lord to change it, Paul says. But Jesus says, no, there is absolutely no reason that it has to be changed because it's working the way it's supposed to work. You're dying to your confidence in yourself and you are growing in confidence to Christ. Are you robbing God? Are you robbing God of the peace and the contentment that you could have from Him because you depend upon yourself instead of Him? Well, Paul was content even in prison. He could rejoice even in prison. He was not stealing from God. Instead, he was taking from God this providence that God had placed upon him and was seeing the work of God in it. He would not steal or rob the glory that was due Jesus Christ. Let us not rob from God, but instead love Him with all of our heart, mind, body, soul, and strength. Let's pray. Gracious and Heavenly Father, though things can be difficult for us, yet we have the confidence that You are in control of it, and it is working to Your glory. Heavenly Father, we pray that by Your grace, by the transforming of the renewing of our minds, we would not rob You, but instead rejoice in You in any and every situation. And we offer our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.